I started a brief series 2 weeks ago. The title of the series is Jews, Judaism, and Christianity. This is a third message. I will take a few moments to review and try to tie everything together, but I think you will be able to pick up all the principles. Notice Galatians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes, "Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily or privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's persons. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and to Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they into the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I always was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews assembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not do as the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Now let me just take a moment and remind you about the two previous messages. In the first message, I pointed out how that Jesus Christ is indeed the King of the Jews. However, He is not King of the Jews just simply by virtue of the fact that He was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and certainly He was of the tribe of Judah. But He was called the King of the Jews by virtue of the fact that He was indeed the true Son of David. That's why Matthew 1:1 begins, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ," or the generation of Jesus Christ, and He says this, "the Son of David, the Son of Abraham." And then, of course, when you get to Luke chapter 2, the angel Gabriel is speaking for God, tells Mary, "I shall give unto him the throne of his father David." And then I pointed out also that God the Father had sovereignly ordained him to be king. For in Psalm 2, verses 6 and 7, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." So Jesus Christ then, as I pointed out in the first message, actually lived in Judea less than 2 years. And when Mary and Joseph took him into Egypt and he came back, then Joseph settled up in Nazareth, which is in Galilee, which is in the northern kingdom. And by the way, I pointed out how Mary, who was in the northern kingdom, our Lord was conceived there. He was born in Bethlehem, and then he went back and lived all of his life, basically, in the northern kingdom. So, Listen carefully. I said this, and I spent the entire first message proving this, that Jesus Christ was a Judean by birth, but he was not a Jew. Because Judaism is a religion. He was raised in Nazareth, which is in Galilee, which is in the northern kingdom. As you read through the New Testament, you will find that the Jews were his enemies. They hated him. They crucified him. And the reason they did so was because he was against their religion, their Talmudic traditions and rituals. Now, let me also remind you how the word Jews is used in the Bible. The Hebrew word literally means a Judahite or a descendant of Judah. When you read the word in the Bible, it refers to a person or persons from the tribe of Judah, the kingdom of Judah, the land of Judea or Judah, the nation of Judah, the house of Judah, or anyone belonging to the tribe, land, nation, or house of Judah could be called a Judahite. And I also pointed out, it can also refer, which I will show you, to the religion of the Jews. When you get to the New Testament, the Greek word is eudaios, which literally means, in simple terms, a Judean in the sense of a country or a land or someone from the tribe of Judah or someone from that southern kingdom. So based then upon the Hebrew and the Greek words for Jews, you have to understand the limitation of the word. And we also discovered in the second message last week that none of the apostles were Jews except one. They were all Galileans with one exception. The one exception who was of Judah was Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. So that's why I pointed out, you should then understand John 1:11. He came into his own and his own received him not. That has much more emphasis when you understand that Judas was a Judean as well. Now, I also pointed out from the book of Acts chapter 1 verses 1 and 2. Now listen carefully. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And I emphasize that phrase, unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So when you get to Acts chapter 1, Jesus Christ is being received up into heaven, and the angel says in verse 11, you men of Galilee. Didn't say you Jews. You men of Galilee. Why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up into you from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. When you get to Acts chapter 1 and verse 13, once again, all of the original apostles are named. And then when you get to Acts chapter 2, where they're all preaching on the day of Pentecost, you read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these Galileans who speak? And I pointed out how that there was indeed a difference between the accents between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Because don't you remember when Peter was betraying Christ, they said, your speech betrayeth thee, or your speech agreeth to. You're one of them. So obviously, there was a difference in the pronunciation of words as accents as well. Now, so it's an established fact of Scripture then that none of the apostles were Jews in that sense of the word. They were not from the tribe of Judah or from the land of Judea, with the exception of Judas Iscariot. Now, I'm going to cover this more in detail in the last message, and I'm going to be speaking from Galatians 2. And I want you to turn right now, holding Galatians 2, to John chapter 11. And let me show you what the apostles said to Christ. And you're going to read passages like this in the New Testament. So you will see that there is a distinction, and they are distinguishing themselves from the Jews. Notice in John 11, and notice if you would please, verse 7. Our Lord says, Then after that saith he unto his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Watch. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Now wait a minute. Did you read that? Then saith he to his disciples, let us go again into Judea. That is in the southern kingdom. That is where the Judahites lived. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews. What are they saying? Those people down there. Those are the ones that tried to kill you. So they're saying, we're not one of them. You're not one of them. They are the ones that are against you. So when you get to Galatians chapter 2, you have to ask this question. If Peter and the other apostles were Galileans, and they did not consider themselves Jews, how then do we deal with Galatians chapter 2? So look, if you would please, at verse 14, because Paul is speaking to Peter, and he says this, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So, if Peter was a Galilean and not a Jew, how is it that Paul is saying, if thou being a Jew? Well, you have to remember something. Scripture does not contradict Scripture. If you have an interpretation that contradicts other plain passages of the Word of God, it's your interpretation that's wrong, not the Scripture. Okay? So you have to let Scripture interpret Scripture. Now, I want you to understand something. The beginning of this chapter, Galatians chapter 2, actually deals with the council at Jerusalem, which we will look at just a little bit later. Since it deals with the council at Jerusalem, it is going to be dealing with what I'm going to call, and what you should understand this term, the Judaizers. Now, if you don't know who the Judaizers were, I'm going to explain it to you. But I want you to look at the first five verses of Galatians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul says, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, I went up by revelation, that is, God told him to get up there, and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, that would be to James and Peter and the rest of them there, watch. But privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. They did not make him be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now note, if you would, he said there were false brethren that came in, and these false brethren wanted to bring them back again into bondage. And Paul said, we did not give them place even for 1 hour. Now, while Paul was there at the Council of Jerusalem, there was no attempt made to force him to compel him to perform or to submit to Jewish rites or customs. In fact, there was not even a compelling factor there to have Titus circumcised. There were some who came in that tried to say that, but Paul said, we did not give them space even for 1 hour. So when you look at the Council of Jerusalem, which I'm going to show you just momentarily from Acts chapter 15, you're going to find out that they did not intend to impose the Jewish rites and customs upon any believer. Now watch. So I've got to ask this question, who were the Judaizers? I'm going to answer it in two ways. First of all, the Judaizers were those men that followed the Apostle Paul around and caused him the most heartache and the most grief, because they intended to seduce and mislead his converts. So they were men who followed the Apostle Paul and caused him the greatest heartache and the greatest grief. Secondly, who were the Judaizers? They were people who professed faith in Jesus Christ. You say, oh, they were Christians. Ah, wait a minute. They professed faith in Jesus Christ, but they said, if you really want to be saved, if you really want to be spiritual, you have to be circumcised and keep all the rites and all the customs. So here's what the Judaizers were doing. They were adding works to grace. And they were saying, in essence, it's all right to believe in Jesus Christ, but there's more to being saved than believing in Jesus Christ. You must do this, and you must do this, and you must do this. Now, you want to know about the Judaizers. I cannot tell you who they were, with the exception that some of them were undoubtedly Pharisees. Hold Galatians 2 and look in your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 15. And you might as well mark Acts 15, because we're going to be coming back to that passage momentarily. But notice, if you would, please, in Acts chapter 15 at verse 5. Acts 15 and verse 5. So here are the Judaizers. Watch. We do know that they were of the sect of the Pharisees. Acts 15, verse 5, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees who believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, they're not necessarily talking about the moral law. They're talking about the ceremonial law and everything that is connected therein. So, these people are called Judaizers for lack of a better term. They were wanting everyone to conform to the rites and the rituals of Judaism. Let me put it like this. They were trying to make Jews out of everybody. Didn't matter who you were, didn't matter where you were from. So when you read the book of Galatians, the heretics in the book of Galatians were Judaizers. That is, they were individuals who would say, yes, it's all right to believe in Christ, but you have to add the keeping of all the customs and all the rituals in order to be saved. Now, let's look in Galatians chapter 5. Let me just show you how Paul keeps fighting them over and over, and he keeps repeating the same truth. Look in Galatians chapter 5, and let's read the first 4 verses. Look what he tells the Galatians. Galatians 5, verse 1. By the way, Galatia was in Asia Minor. Watch. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What is the yoke of bondage? It's the ceremonial law, which nobody was able to really keep. Watch. He says, behold, I, Paul, said to you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Now, this passage is not teaching that you can lose your salvation. That is not what it's saying at all. Look what the apostle is saying. He says, behold, I, as Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now, let me ask you, is the apostle Paul against circumcision? The answer is no. But these Judaizers were saying that a man had to be circumcised if he's really going to be saved. Watch, verse 3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's debtor to do the whole law. So Paul says, you can't pick and choose. If you're going to say, my circumcision, this rite, is going to save me because it's a ritual given through Moses or to Abraham, and even Moses came on. If you say, this is the thing that's going to save me, well, he says, you can't pick and choose. Now you've got to fulfill every bit of that law. And then when you get to verse 4, he says, Christ has become no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. What is he saying? Here are two realms. Here's the realm of grace. Here's the realm of the law. If you are fallen from the realm of grace, the only thing left for you is the realm of the law. In other words, you're not seeking to be justified by the grace of God. You're seeking to be justified by your own efforts. So, look in Galatians chapter 6. I'm just showing you, he keeps fighting this same Judaizing sect over and over. Galatians 6, notice verse 12. He's talking about the Judaizers again. He says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Why? Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. In other words, I've got a convert. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So the Judaizers wanted all who professed faith in Jesus Christ to attach themselves basically to ethnic Israel and live as they lived. Now, here's the point I want to make. This issue was really dealt with in Acts 15. So I want you to go back to Acts 15. I told you you'd be turning back there. Look in Acts chapter 15. And notice, if you would please, beginning there with verse 1. Acts 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren. Here you go. Here are the Judaizers. They came down from Judea and taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Wow. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Now let me put verse 2 into greater perspective for you. When the Bible says, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, it means they had a knockdown drag out. They took them on. That's what it means. And so after this knockdown drag out, everybody says, well, what we need to do is go up to Jerusalem where all the rest of the apostles are, the elders are there. Let's see what they have to say. Okay. Let's skip down to verse 19. Acts 15, verse 19. After they have the council, in verse 19, James says, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we've heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you, with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same thing. Now watch verse 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fare you well. And that was it. That was it. Now, interestingly, they said, no, you don't have to be circumcised. No, you don't have to keep the vows. No, you don't have to keep the rituals. Here's what we would tell you. Stay away from idolatry. Don't eat the blood for obvious reasons. Don't eat things strangled. Stay away from fornication. Why? If you do these things, fine, you'll do well. Just keep believing in Jesus Christ. Now, here's my question. Listen to this. When they said in Acts 15, this is our sentence, and it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us, they were literally putting the Judaizers in their place. If you would look back in your Bibles to Galatians 2, where our text is, at verses 3 through 5, note the Judaizers were put in their place in Acts 15, and now Paul puts them in their place in Galatians 2. Verse 3, he says this, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. I'm still talking about Jerusalem. Watch. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into subjection, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. We didn't give them time to speak. We didn't listen to them. We cut them out. Why? That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So the point clarified then at the Council of Jerusalem was that the observance of Jewish rites was not necessary in order to salvation. Now, we're going to be dealing with Galatians chapter 2, especially with the Apostle Peter. Now, I want you to turn back, holding Galatians 2, to Acts chapter 15. Here is an interesting thing. Peter was at the council in Jerusalem. He was not only there, he spoke. I want you to look what Peter said. Look in Acts 15, beginning with verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up. Now remember, in Galatians 2, Paul is nailing Peter. So Peter understands this. He was there. Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who dwelt the hearts, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Now look what Peter said. Peter said, we're not going to put these believers under a yoke of bondage. We're just not going to do it. Our fathers were not able to bear this yoke. We're not able to bear this yoke. But here's what I want to point out. Look what he said in verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now, here's my question. How did God make the choice among the apostles that the Gentiles would hear the word of God and believe? I'll show you. Look in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. This is where Cornelius and his house were converted. And God is preparing Peter to go to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman soldier, a centurion in Caesarea Philippi. Watch. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." And this was done thrice or three times, that the vessel and their vessel were received up into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men, that is, that were sent by Cornelius, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, who was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down and go with them, nothing doubting, for I have sent them. So, yeah, Peter understood that God had made choice among all of them, that it was through him that he was to preach to the Gentiles. So he was sent then to the house of Cornelius, a Roman soldier and a Roman centurion. Now, skip down to verse 28. Look what Peter says when he gets there. And he said unto them, that is to the household of Cornelius, "You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come in unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent have you sent me?" Now, when Peter says in verse 28, "You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation." The word Jew here refers to someone from the Jewish nation or from someone who holds a Jewish religion. You have to also remember this, that there were other men with Peter. Peter did not go there by himself. Look, if you would please, in verse 23. The Bible says, "Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him." So, you have to understand that tradition played a very important part in the lives of the Jews, or those who had embraced Judaism. They had their customs, they had their rituals, they had their traditions. And so, you will find this in the New Testament as well. Do you realize that the Jews, that is the people of Judea, the southern kingdom, they call the Samaritans dogs? You remember the 10 northern tribes had been taken away into captivity? And the Assyrian king had sent other people to live there, and a lot of them had intermarried. And so the people in the southern kingdom just referred to the Samaritans as dogs. That is why in John chapter 4, when Christ was witnessing to the woman at the well, she looked at him and she asked, "How is it that thou, being a Jew or a Judean, asketh a drink of water of me, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." They counted them as dogs. Let me show you something else. Look in your Bibles to Matthew 15. This may surprise you. This may surprise you. Look in Matthew 15 and beginning there with verse 26. Matthew 15, verse 26. Let's begin reading verse 21. Matthew 15, verse 21. Watch. "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil.' But he answered her not a word." He wouldn't even speak to her. "And his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.'" She won't let us alone. "But he answered and said," he's talking to the woman, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs.'" What did our Lord just call this woman? A dog. And she said, watch, she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs," or the little puppies, "eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. But look what he called her. He called her a dog. She said, "Yeah, that's what I am." But even the little puppies get to eat the crumbs. And I'll take the crumbs. And he said, "Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Now, for the gospel to be carried into the nations, the mentality of Jews only had to be dealt with. And it began being dealt with in the ministry of Peter. Now, while it is true, listen to me very carefully, while it is true the law of God forbade intermarriage with the heathen and forbade contracts and covenants with the heathen, it did not forbid civility, compassion, and kindness. I want to show you. I want you to hold Galatians 2. We're coming back there. But look in your Bibles to the book of Leviticus, chapter 19 and verse 34. Leviticus 19 and verse 34. In fact, we can read verse 33. Notice Leviticus 19, verse 33. God says, "And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, you shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Now that doesn't sound like being unkind and uncivil and uncompassionate to a heathen or to a stranger. No. He said you're to love him and you're to treat him the way he should be treated. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 19. Deuteronomy 10. Look in verse 19. He says, "Love you therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." Love you therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Look in Deuteronomy 23. Look at Deuteronomy 23. And notice, if you would please, verse 7. Deuteronomy 23, verse 7. "Thou shalt not abhor," and the word abhor is a strong word for hatred. Thou shalt not abhor or hate an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Jacob and Esau. Esau is the father of Edom, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land. So God said you can't hate the Edomite and you can't hate the Egyptian. And he tells them they must love the stranger. Now, when you go back in your Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter 2, we're going to see that Peter not only violated the law, he betrayed the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Let me say that again. Peter not only violated the law, he betrayed the doctrine of justification by faith alone. That is why in Galatians 2, the apostle confronts him to his face and dresses him down and calls him into account. Peter, by his actions, were effectively denying the doctrine of grace. Look at your Bibles, Galatians 2 and verse 11. Here's what Paul said. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. Fault was to be found with Peter. He was to be blamed. What did Peter do? Let me tell you what he did, and I'm going to show it to you from Scripture. Peter gave into an irrational fear that caused him to act unbiblically. It is true that James was the Lord's brother and a leader of the church in Jerusalem. However, we are not told that James sent this delegation that came in Galatians chapter 2. Obviously, it took a while for believers to leave Judaism as a whole. Now, I want you to stop and think with me just for a moment. We are quick to condemn a lot of people in the Scripture. But if you were raised with certain rites and rituals and customs all of your lives, and then all of a sudden you saw truth, and you begin to separate yourself to that truth, and yet all these rituals, all these rules, all these customs, how can I leave them? You know, they've been a part of me. You look at people who have been raised in the Roman Catholic Church and then get converted, or people who've lived in Mormonism and get converted, or any of these religions and get converted. You look at Arminians, when they see the truth of God's grace, do you realize it takes time to separate yourself from all of that false activity and false misinterpretation of the Scriptures that you've had all of your life? It just takes time. Now, so it's going to take time for these Jews or Judaizers or any true believer to leave all their rituals. The problem at Jerusalem was, since Jerusalem was the capital, and that's where the temple was, that's where the tabernacle was, that's where the Levites were, it's going to be even more difficult. So, I want you to watch. Hold Galatians 2, but turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 21. Acts 21. I want you to see what James says. The Apostle Paul comes into town. Note, if you would please, Acts 21, beginning there with verse 17. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, And all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Look, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are who believe, and they are all zealous of the law. Watch now. And they are informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this that we say unto thee. We have four men which have a vow on them. Take them and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and with all that and all that may know that these things whereof they are informed of thee concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself walkest orderly and keepest the law. As touching the Gentiles who believe, we've written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols and from blood and from strangled and from fornication. Now watch. What were they saying to the Apostle Paul? Well, they heard that you're telling Jews to forsake Moses. Well, I don't know that he was telling that, but you know how things get bent out of shape and get all misconstrued. Well, fine. But look what they wanted to do. They wanted him to take a vow and be at charges, shave your head. Some of us don't have to shave our heads. But the point I'm trying to make is this. This is not about the moral law. This is not about thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal and thou shalt, you know, commit adultery. No, it's not about that. It's about customs and rituals and ceremonies. And what did James say? You see how many are zealous for the law. What were they being zealous for? Their traditions. That's what they were being zealous for. So it's not the moral law that's here. It's those traditions. It's their customs. It was these things. Now, when I say that, I am not implying that James was a Judaizer. Nor am I saying that all the saints at Jerusalem were Judaizers. I'm not saying that. Now listen to me. If you want to be a stickler for details, if you want to observe every ritual and every custom and every tradition, if you want to do that, have at it. That's you. But it's quite another thing for you to come along and say, now, Ed, if you don't observe this tradition, if you don't follow this ritual, if you don't observe this ceremony, you are not really saved. So that's what the Judaizers were saying. The Judaizers are saying you have to do this in order to be saved. They were trying to bind what they thought and what they did upon everyone else. And if you didn't conform to them, you were not saved. Now, I want you to go back to Galatians chapter 2. Here is why Paul jumped on Peter face to face. Here's why he dressed him down. Look in Galatians 2, beginning with verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. Well, what was he to be blamed for? Here it is. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews assembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel. I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, what did Peter do? The Bible tells us that he played the hypocrite. He says in verse 12, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Watch verse 13. And the other Jews dissembled likewise, inasmuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. The word dissembled and the word dissimulation means to play the hypocrite. So Peter then acted hypocritically, and his actions affected Barnabas and the others there, and caused them to be carried away with this hypocrisy. Now, before certain from James came, he just sat down and ate with anybody. He'd probably even eat with you, Brother Ron. But when this delegation came from James, he withdrew and separated himself. I'm not going to eat with these Gentiles. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 29 and verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. And Peter, in this instance, feared man rather than God. Now, the Bible does not tell us exactly what happened. I do not know if this delegation from James was actually sent by James. I do not know if they demanded that Peter separate himself. Or maybe there was a debate. I don't know that. It could have been that Peter just was fearful and he silently separated himself from the Gentiles. But he did fear man, and his actions demonstrated that he feared man. He feared the effect of the opposition. He feared the effect of their reproaches. He probably feared the report that they would give at Jerusalem. He may have even feared that the Jews at Antioch would be stirred up and cause problems. All I know is that he feared. He acted hypocritically. He acted unbiblically and not in accord with the doctrine and the gospel of grace. Here is the crux of the issue. Look in verse 14. He said, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. There it is. When I saw that they walked not uprightly, when you're playing the hypocrite, you're not walking according to the truth. I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Now, there is a gospel issue involved. If Peter was a Galilean, how could he be a Jew? That's a good question. Now, I want you to look at verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Here is the answer, and I'm going to show it to you. Peter was becoming, or had become by his actions, a religious Jew, in the sense that now he thinks he must keep the traditions and the rituals, and by doing so, He is also saying to the other Gentiles, you must do this as well. In other words, you must become as we are. In other words, Peter basically at this point had become a Judaizer himself. Now here's where it gets interesting. Because Paul says to Peter, if thou being a Jew, well, was he a Jew or was he a Galilean? Here it is. He was a Galilean by birth. But by his actions, he was becoming Jewish. Now, let me tell you. The Greek word, when Paul says, if thou being a Jew, the Greek word literally is hupharko, which literally means, listen carefully, to make a beginning, to come forth, to be there. Here's what Paul really said to Peter. You're making a good beginning at becoming a religious Jew. You're Galilean, but you're becoming Jewish. That's exactly what he told him. I want you to understand something. Jewishness is a religion. Anybody ever heard of Sammy Davis Jr.? He became a Jew. The black entertainer. I want to show you something. Look in your Bibles to the book of Esther. The book of Esther. Esther chapter 8. Everybody knows the story about Mordecai and Esther. But I want to show you this. Look in Esther chapter 8. And you remember Haman was hanged on his own gallows. His sons were killed. But I want you to see what the Bible says. Mordecai is in control. Esther 8 in verse 17. And in every province. And by the way, we're talking about Persia now. Ahasuerus was king of Persia and all these other countries. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, this is Esther 8, verse 17, and in every province and every city wheresoever the king's commandment and its decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness and a feast and a good day, and many people of the land became Jews. For the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Now, being a Jew is a race or an ethnicity. How did they become a different race or a different ethnic group? No, it's a religion. It's a religion. So this is exactly what the Apostle Paul is telling Peter. You're making a good beginning at being Jewish. You're following the rituals. You're following the customs and the traditions. Now, let's go back to verse 15. Because there's something else here. I've got to answer it. Look at it. Verse 15. Paul says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Whoa. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Is he saying that Jews are not sinners? No, I want you to listen. In this verse, Paul is claiming that he and others were Judeans by nature or by training. You remember Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin? Where did Benjamin have his inheritance? In Judea, in the southern kingdom. You have to remember that he was that Benjamite. And the tribe of Benjamin, along with Judah and Simeon, had their inheritance in the southern kingdom. Paul could rightly claim to be a Judean, listen to me, not only by virtue of the fact that the tribe of Benjamin had their inheritance in Judea, But Paul was raised in the Jewish tradition and religion at the feet of Gamaliel. So, he says, we who are Jews by nature, yeah, we're there. But Peter, you're Galilean. You're becoming a Jew by action. And by your action, you are denying the truth of the gospel. You have to remember in Romans 2 and in Romans 3, the Apostle Paul says that all Jews are sinners and all will be held accountable by God. And the same thing in Romans 3, all the Gentiles are sinners as well. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that understandeth. They're all gone out of the way. Well, what does he mean then when he says, we who are Jews by nature, not sinners as the Gentiles? Let me show you what I believe he's referring to. If you will hold Galatians 2, we're coming right back there. But look in your Bibles, Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And look, if you would please, at verses 4 and 5. Paul is talking about his ancestry. He says, in fact, let's read verse 3. Romans 9, verse 3. He says, for I could wish myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now watch. Who are his kinsmen according to the flesh? It's not just Jews. He says, who are Israelites? Watch. To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Are you watching? Whose are the fathers and of whom is concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. He said salvation has come through the tribe of Judah. Did not our Lord say that in John chapter 4? What did he tell the woman of the well? Salvation is of the Jews, or salvation is of the Judahites, because he himself was from the tribe of Judah. And he was born in Judea. He is salvation. Now, when Peter confronts Paul, you have to remember, when Paul confronts Peter, got it backwards. When Paul confronts Peter, you have to remember there was a gospel issue involved. That gospel issue was justification by faith alone. Is salvation a work of God, or is salvation a work of God and man? And he said, Peter, if salvation is a work of God alone, then you do not have to keep all of these little rituals and traditions that have been imposed by men, or any of these that have been completely fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Why is it we do not offer a sacrifice? Because Jesus Christ is our sacrifice. Jesus Christ is our feast. Jesus Christ is our Passover. Jesus Christ is everything. Wow. Now watch what he said in verse 16. Galatians 2 and verse 16. This is the culmination, and this is what Peter is being told by the Apostle Paul. He says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Separate yourself all you want to. You're not going to be justified by what you do. Keep all the rituals you want to. You're not going to be justified by what you do. Justification is not by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Here it is. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. No one can be saved by the works of the law. No one is saved by separating themselves or following certain traditions or rituals or customs or rules or regulations. It is faith in Jesus Christ alone that saves. Look in verse 21. Look what the Apostle Paul said. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. There's no law that can give righteousness to save. No. Now, was Paul correct to rebuke Peter? Yes. Was that rebuke well deserved? Yes. And the reason it was well deserved, because the very heart of the gospel was at stake. And he said, Peter, if you want to separate yourself now and become a Jew, guess what? You're obligated to keep the whole law. If you will look in Galatians 3, beginning with verse 10, Galatians 3 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says it like this, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, the Apostle Paul is not saying that the law is done away with, that the law is no good, but what he is saying is, we're not justified by the law. God never gave the law as a means or as a standard for justification. Never. I want to give you one quote, and I'll tie it together. Here is what John Calvin said concerning Galatians 2. When Paul rebuked Peter. Listen. The state of the case is here laid down. For the sake of the Jews, Peter hath withdrawn himself from the Gentiles in order to drive them from the communion of the church unless they would relinquish the liberty of the gospel and submit to the yoke of the law. If Paul had been silent here, his whole doctrine fell. All the edification obtained by his ministry was ruined. It was therefore necessary that he should rise manfully and fight with courage. This shows us how cautiously we ought to guard against giving way to the opinions of men, lest an immoderate desire to please or an undue dread of giving offense should turn us aside from the right path. If this might happen to Peter, how much more easily may it happen to us if we're not duly careful. And think about that. If it happened to Peter, and seeking to please men, or seeking not to offend men, and in our day of political correctness, and by the way, I told you, I'm working on a message on the religion of political correctness, and it is a religion, I can assure you. Judaism and Christianity are incompatible. They're opposites. Judaism teaches works, and Christianity teaches grace that produces works in us. But it's totally, completely, absolutely of grace. One last thought. Can you imagine how many Baptists have become Jews because of all the rules and rituals and regulations that they add in order for you to be truly spiritual and to be truly saved? Peter was not a Jew, he was a Galilean. But he was becoming one by his actions. And so can we if we're not careful. It's grace and grace alone. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bow to Thee, we thank You, we praise You, we give Thee honor and glory and ask that You would help us, that You would teach us and build us up in the most holy faith. In Thy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.